We're going into a time of testimonies. I hope you've been thinking. I want to remind you about the ABCs of testimony. This is Laura's. I love this. It's brilliant. So A, authenticity. We want you to be authentic. Tell about your life in an authentic way. B, brief. Be brief so that there's time for as many testimonies as we can fit in this morning. And C, Christ-centered. Let's give God glory in whatever we're talking about. So I would like, is there anyone who wants to kick things off and jump up here for the first testimony? Zoli. And then if you have a testimony that you'd like to give, come and sit here and that way I'll know. If not, I'll ask and harass you. It'd be easier if you were just sitting up here.
Good morning, everyone. There's a phrase that I've learned a long time ago, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words. About a month and a half ago, I had a break between flights, and so did one of my colleagues. And he comes up to me and he says, Zoli, how come nothing phases you? And I go like, huh? You know, and we've gone through a lot of changes at work, you know, management changes and stuff like that. So there's been a bit of an upheaval. And I instantly thought, oh, well, this is an opportunity to share the gospel. So I said, basically, I said to him, my faith is what keeps me steady, right? And I know that, and the other thing I said was that I know that this is not my home, that I'm just passing through. And then I supplemented that with just the fact that I know that God made me this way. I tend to be a steady Eddie. I'm not a up-down kind of person. I was the tortoise, right? I'm not the hare. I just plod along, you know. And then I finally, a week later, I saw him again and I said, you know, and part of it is I'm a bit like a duck, in that I'm calm on top, paddling like mad underneath, right? You know, that's just being, you know, and that's part of just not being vulnerable. But I said to him, I said, I'll try to be that more often. And then about three weeks ago, another colleague came back from, he takes the winters off and then he flies for us in the summertime. And we got to start, I asked him about, we were talking about what it means to be Canadian. That morphed into what was happening with Donald Trump in the U.S. And then that morphed into our view of life. And he's an atheist. Well, he says he's a humanist is what he said. And I kid you not, it was an intense discussion. It was the irresistible force meeting the immovable object. it was intense. It really was intense. And we finished. He had his things to do. I had mine. But I really felt convicted by the Holy Spirit about an hour later. I was just listening to a podcast and a sermon, and just there was just something that the Holy Spirit said to me, Zoli, you were being very self-righteous and arrogant in that discussion. And so I felt convicted about that. I shared that with a few people here. And then the next week I saw him again, because I didn't see him all for the rest of that week when we had that discussion. And I first thing I did was I shot up, I went to him, and I said to him face to face, I said, look, I'm sorry, I was being self-righteous and arrogant in our discussion. Please forgive me. And he said, no, I don't accept that. You didn't need to be that. And I said to him, no, I said, we all need to be more humble in these kind of discussions, right? And to me, I just felt that that was more of a witness than the actual discussion that we had, you know. But at the same time, and then he wants to know about this Christian humanism course that I took at Regent recently. So I gave him an essay to read, and now we've got an essay to talk about. I got to reread the essay. It's long. It's 28 pages, so it's a big essay. Anyways, it's just one of those things. Like I said, preach the gospel at all times, and if necessary, use words, because you don't know when you have an opportunity, and you don't know how people are observing you. The first guy, when he said to me, I was just like shocked. I was just being myself, but I know it's God through me. It's not me. I am not the person that I would be without Jesus and the Holy Spirit leading me in my life. So thank you for listening.
Thank you. Okay. Thanks, Zoli.
Good morning. So I wanted to talk a little bit this morning about disappointment. You know, disappointment and pain and loss are real things in our lives. And it was interesting, I had 3 or 4 brief conversations this morning with people coming in, and 3/4 of them were all people that are kind of experiencing loss of some sort or big disappointment of some sort, and it's real. I've had a number of big disappointments over the last little while, and you need to deal with it, deal with the truth and the reality, and recognize that there is grace. So one of the things, when you experience disappointment or pain or loss, in our bodies and our minds, we lose the ability to be as resourced, to be the best that we can be. And all of us have the other side of the coin of who we are when we are great, when we are resourced, when we're at our best. The other side of that coin is not as beautiful. And when you are under-resourced, you then disappoint yourself by being those things that you don't want to be anymore, by being that person that you thought you weren't anymore. So I just wanted to encourage you that there is grace. Grace is crazy. I don't get it. But whatever you're experiencing, whatever your loss is, if you find yourself in that position, there's grace for you. Now, again, in our faith, it's almost always, it's a interplay, it's a relationship between ourselves and Holy Spirit. And almost always, your recovery, your healing is not going to come just through the faith side of the equation. We have a responsibility to be in community. By being in each other's lives and rubbing up against each other, we sharpen ourselves. We get better. We get the opportunity to share. We get the opportunity for somebody else to say something that goes, oh, wow, that's useful for me. Like Monica last night at the prayer meeting, you know, the concept of the deep waters, and that's where she's living at the moment. She's come back, and it was really useful for her and valuable. So I just want to encourage you that disappointment is real. Don't feel uncomfortable in the disappointment, but it's not something that isn't entirely human and appropriate. Don't stay there. There are steps within community and within prayer that marches you back towards representing the sunny side of who you are and the strong side and the resource side of who you are. So I just wanted to share that. It's been and is still kind of part of a current journey that I'm on, but hope it's helpful. Thank you. Oh, and just the last thing, just to encourage, as Monica was saying, you know, we have resources here for community. The men's group next week, 9:30 breakfast. The women's group the week after. Now, the men's group is better than the women's group. Bacon, sausage, pancakes, maple syrup, and as opposed to tea and snacks. So let me just pray for us. Lord, thank you for a real embodied life that you've given us. We're human. We're created in your image, and yet we have those areas that we are responsible for in our health and our mental health, our spiritual health, our physical health. And I would just encourage us, Lord, when we find ourselves in pain and in disappointment, that you would help us to make good and healthy decisions as soon as we can within that environment, and be willing to be vulnerable and close to people and in community so that the value and the health that comes from that can be a part of our growth, and we can be a part of other people's journey back to health. Amen.
Thanks, Scott. Never give that guy a mic.
Hi, good to see you. Man, I've actually been wanting to share for a while things that have been happening in my life and things that I've been learning, but it's been a bit more of a personal journey, and just haven't quite found that opportunity to do it yet. But I think here's a good space, so why not? Yeah. This past year, I was blessed. I got to step into the new role as campus lead with UCM. I entered a new space of doing full-time ministry, still taking a course at Regent College. And what I found is that stepping into higher positions of leadership very much restricts your freedom. You have less ability to just kind of go spontaneously off your own intuition. You have to defer and communicate a lot more and just be a lot more thoughtful and responsible for the protection of people, because your actions have a deeper impact in people's lives, which exposes them both to the ability to receive life, but then also your actions could have unintended consequences that you don't think about. And you can hurt people in ways that you're both unaware of and that you do unintentionally. And so as I've been in this role, it's been so amazing to see the fruit of God's work touching these students' lives in remarkable ways. And it's also been challenging for me because of mistakes that I've made, as we all make when we're learning new things. But I just wanted to share that this past semester, I got to take a course called The Christian Spirit, which is a history of Christian spiritual formation. And it was so rich. And I really found that I had an opportunity to develop my own prayer life and to deepen my life in Christ in a way that I hadn't gone to before. And so I've been experimenting, playing around with it, and developing new rhythms. In the morning, when I pray now, I light a candle. And it's so cool because the candle just really slows you down, helps you be a lot more present and attentive to God's Spirit, and you don't rush it, you know? And then in the evening, I found that a good way to wind down before bed is to go for a prayer walk, where you can walk and do the examine, you can review your day in prayer, and it's beautiful. And I even carry a hazelnut when I go through prayer walk because of Juliana of Norwich from 13th century. She was a mystic, and like Christian mysticism is good, not bad. It's important to understand Christian mysticism. She had a vision of something which represents everything that God loves, created, and upholds. And it was no bigger than a hazelnut. And this is everything that God loves, created, and upholds. And yet we, as Christians, need to regard that as nothing, in contrast to the comparison of how great God is, and that we're made for him to receive his love. So as I walk and I pray, I have that tangible reminder that my life is so small, this world is so small, and that I'm created to enter into God's being. Oh, and yeah, it's been a transformative journey for me of having to let go of desires and things in my life, addictions, to meet the needs that I have personally, so that I don't go to those unhealthy sources anymore and I go to Christ instead. And I've wanted to share this for a while, but I want to end with a prayer that I wrote, actually. And the purpose of this prayer is to open up every morning devotional So when you sit down to pray, how do you get in a headspace where you're ready to open the scripture and pray and read God's word? I wrote this prayer to set myself up well every morning, and it's kind of a ritual to read it. And so I'm just going to read the prayer. Here it is. My Lord and my God, hear my prayer. In you I am alive. In you I am righteous. In you I am beloved. Jesus Christ, you died for me, and now you are alive. You alone can make me like yourself. Holy Spirit, I give you access to transform my heart, renew my mind, and revive my life according to your abundant mercy and good pleasure. Physical intimacy will not satisfy me. Lord, may I be chaste. Wealth will not make me happy. Lord, may I be temperate. Success will not make me content. Lord, may I be generous. Release from my tasks will not bring me freedom. Lord, may I be diligent. Comparison won't bring me success. Lord, may I be kind. Anger will not fix my problems. Lord, may I be patient. I cannot control people or what happens to me. Lord, may I be humble. Father, I confess that I have not loved you with my whole heart, nor have I loved my neighbor fully as myself. Forgive me. May I remember what you've done, being joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. I will lift up the cup of salvation because your love is better than life. I have died, and my life is hidden with Christ in you. Let me sit now at your feet and listen.
Thank you, Paul.
Good morning, everybody. Scott got to me. I wasn't going to come up, but when I first got to church and I was thinking about what happened in the Filipino community, God sort of, you know, nudged me and said, yeah, remember when you had a Saturday night like that? I can feel what they're going through because my husband was a pastor and he was killed by a distracted driver on a Saturday night. And I had to get the elders together and plan a service for the next day. And I want to tell you that God is true to his word. That night, over a half an hour period, God told me what was happening before the police even showed up. He first told me something was wrong, then he told me there'd been an accident, then he told me it was a serious accident, and then he told me my husband was killed. And I'm not a reader of Job, but the first thought that came to my head was, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And I'm sort of shocked at the thought that's going through my head. But then I thought, well, God, if this is true, you say all things work together for good for those that love you and are called according to your purpose. And I said, use it. And that very night, I went over to the hospital, and some of the elders came over, and one of my friends who lived close to the hospital came over while I was waiting to see my husband. And I didn't know my prayer was going to be answered so quickly because my girlfriend insisted on coming with me to see my husband. She said, you're not going in there alone. And my husband is laying on, you know, a metal table, and his right arm was sticking out and his head, and that was it. And there were tubes everywhere on his head. So I went and put my hand on his right arm. And I knew when the accident happened, I knew how long he would have been dead. And I put my hand on his arm and he was warm. And I said, Vonnie, he's warm. So she put her hand on him. And we got to pray with him. And I kissed him goodbye in the forehead, and instantly he went cold. So God allowed his body to come back together with his spirit so that I could say goodbye. And I got to share that the next morning with the congregation, who, if you can imagine, they're really hurting. They've lost their pastor. We don't know what we're going to do now. And continually through that period, even at the funeral, God really filled me with worship and praise, and I think I was singing at the top of my lungs. And one of my son's friends, they'd come all the way several states over to when they heard to come to the funeral. And the wife said to me, "Oh my gosh, you sang so beautifully. How could you do that when your husband's dead?" And I said, "Because God gives me strength." And it was like Zoli's testimony. God gives you what you need in the time you need it. So I'm praying for the Filipino community that God would give them mercy and grace and love for one another and miracles like I had, so that they have a testimony to share how God can turn every bad thing into good if you just let him, in Jesus' name.
Thank you, Carolee. Matthew.
Yes. It's going to be a bit of a tonal shift. it's quite the one to follow. Yeah, so I'm Matthew. My wife, Ingrid, and I just had a baby about 4 months ago. Yeah, his name's Arkin. And I think having Arkin has given me a different insight into some really kind of basic, probably, truths. But it makes me realize kind of why the father-son metaphor, the parent-child metaphor, is used in the Bible. And it's hard to appreciate, I think, when I was just a child. But now that I'm a father, it's given me kind of some new clarity on that. Even as simple as, like, how completely dependent Arkin is on me. I think as I go through life, I kind of build up an image of being dependent on myself, and it masks the dependence that I have on God. And having this four-month-old who literally can't even roll over on himself, he'll cry because he's bored, because he can only look in one direction, is dependent for everything. It gives me like that's how truly dependent I am on God, even if I have all these walls or these self-sufficiencies that I try to build up to cover over that. Also something as simple as like the consequences of my actions. Arkin will drool and then get tired and then faceplant into his drool and then cry. You did that to yourself, buddy. Like, oh no, the consequences of my own actions. But I can think there's some things that happen to us. I'll whisk Arkin here and there, like that's me doing it. But there's so many things where it's like, no, even though I'm able to build up these divisions, it's like, okay, well, maybe it's not fully my actions because I can rationalize in these ways or these couple hops. Like, no, there's like things that I do that clearly it's the consequence of my own actions. And it's just so much plainer when it's a four-month-old. But I think the main thing that I've taken away is as soon as Arkin was born, and I think this is different, I've heard this is different for different parents, but I was lucky enough, as soon as he was born, I had so much love for him. I don't know what his personality will be like. Like a four-month-old doesn't really have much of a personality. His personality is like a blob. But I love him so much. And it doesn't matter what his personality turns out to be. Like I think I'll hold that love for him. It doesn't matter if he messes up. Like that doesn't affect my love for him. And it's so easy for me to think about my other human relationships where there is an element of like I'm friends with people for reason X, Y, and Z. Or there's something that holds us together. But with Arkin, it's like, no, I just love him. He's my son. And to think that's how God loves us. We were talking with our pediatrician and kind of relating this. And she's like, yeah, it gives me appreciation for how much my parents love me. And I wanted to think like, yes, but even more so how much God loves us. And I didn't really want to, maybe I chickened out in the context of talking to our doctor. But it was just such a beautiful thought to be like, yes, that's how much God loves me. Even though I don't think I'll be able to fully appreciate how much my parents love me, let alone how much God loves me, but God gives me a glimpse into that by having a child. So, yeah.
Thank you. Thanks. I think we will, one more. Yeah, come on. Yeah, last one. I think we'll cut it off there because we're going to run out of time, but this is great. We should do this more often.
My name is Maureen. Recently, as most of you know, my husband visited and he's gone back home. But he has a lot of time this time around during his visit that we thought he could work a bit. And we had a lot of things that we were needing money for and a lot of financial things to settle. But it did not happen that way. It's happened that he worked just for 2 months and work wasn't coming, but we still had to meet our financial obligations anyway. I did not grow up with credit cards, so it's really hard when I have to, you know, use credit cards and all, but I got into this community, this society, and it's like, that's a way to, you have to build your credit, and it's great to have credit card. So it was really hard, but we had to just keep doing the necessary things that money was needed for with the credit card. And before we realized, the figures were just up in the air. And at a point, I was like, how did we get here? And at a point, I was so much afraid because I've not had that much debt before. So I was crying one day, and we were talking through all this, and I slept, and I had a dream. And in the dream, I saw the picture of Jesus pulling Peter crying out to Jesus for help on the sea, and Jesus bringing him out of the water. And right after that, in the dream, the Lord pointed a scripture to me, and I want to read that to you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, that says that, cast all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. Some versions say, cast all your cares. Others say, cast all your burdens. So when I woke up, I told my husband the dream, and we prayed. On my way to work, I pray a lot on my way to work. I have about 40 minutes commute time. So all of a sudden, I don't know what happened. I started crying. And I was like, Jesus, just uphold me. I got to the office, and then I prayed. And God said, I'm going to take care of that. Leave that for me. Said, okay, Lord, I know when you say you will do it. I don't know how it's going to happen, but I trust you. So I had an appointment with one of my clients that day, and I had to do a lot of calls to CRA regarding GSTs and other stuff. So after my appointment with that client, I was like, wait a minute. I don't think I've gotten GST since I've been in Canada. I don't know. So I contacted CRA right away, and they checked my account, and they saw that there was a mistake on my account. So they corrected it. And the GST started rolling back to the time that I have been in Canada, so since 2019. And praise be to Jesus. And church, I just want to say that. Trust him with all your heart. And to the praise and to the glory of God, the money that came plus my ATAS returns paid all the debt. I mean all the debt, every single, all the debt. And I look at my credit card and it's like zero balance on it. And I want to just encourage you this morning that cast all your anxieties, your cares on him, because he cares for you. And we were just talking about this and we were laughing and we're like, you know what? I know that if God really is on your case, you know, he pays all your debt, both spiritual debt and physical debt. He pays everything. He pays them all. And if we had spotted that mistake, say, 6 months or a year ago, you know, it wouldn't have settled his death. So God was pointing to us that, you know, just as when help is needed, he will come through. And just about the time that you need it. So it is not, nothing is by mistake, nothing is too late, nothing is too early. So if you are here and you are thinking that there are things that, you know, are late in your life, just know that God is able to put all those things together for your good. And he will comfort you. And those waters, they will not overwhelm you. He will bring you out of them. And he's brought us out of them all. And to the praise and glory of Jesus, I look at my credit card and I say, Jesus, it can only be you. From so much like almost into the four zeros, and it's like now, you know, we have nothing to worry about. So just be encouraged and know that God cares so much about you, and he will pull you through. Amen.
Well, thank God for CRA errors, huh? No one ever thanks CRA. So my testimony is along the same. About 13 years ago, I had to file for bankruptcy and my husband walked out. And that just started a cycle of debt, legal debt, fighting for my kids. And I really lost my identity because I felt like I was the woman of Proverbs 31, phase two, and where she loses everything and isn't successful at all. And so this past week, only by God's grace, and after 13 years, and just seriously God's grace, all of my debts are paid. And my... and my bankruptcy is ended. So I just have to wait for that. And I have this fabulous, I've always been very blessed with, especially men in my life. I've been blessed with men in my life who have authority, and in some cases, okay, they've abused the authority, but others who just had grace. And so my trustee was one of those people who, for 13 years, I could go to him. He had all sorts of authority to punish me for not paying off the bankruptcy. He never exercised it. And he would listen to my really silly stories about dating. And so when I sent him an email last week saying, okay, this is it, I'm paying off my bankruptcy, he's like, sends me an email back and he goes, this is it. This is the end of our, I never thought this would ever, ever, ever happen. And so I had my last meeting with him and hugged him goodbye. And then I called my dad, and unfortunately he's, you know, he has these great opportunities to be a great dad, and he just looked at me and he said, well, on the phone, and just said, well, you know, you'll probably just end up in debt again. And I, yeah, I know, I know. So if there's any fathers out there who want to bless me, I'll really accept it. I need it. But then I also, you know, we're talking about community in the beginning and how I went to the coffee shop, and one day I'm just sitting there and my regular senior males didn't show up, but I was surrounded by senior women. And one woman just blessed me on Friday, and she said, you know what? You did awesome. Yeah. You did great. Yeah. And you had to dig your way out while you were still buried. Mm-hmm. And that's really hard. Yeah. And so, you know, I could receive from this non-Christian just in my community, and I just love that God would do that. Like, just bring someone in right when my heart was breaking and needing that parental authority to just step in. So, yeah, he's a good father, and he'll send wonderful people our way.
Yeah. I also want to say I have observed Evan for quite a few years, maybe 13. I don't know how long you've been here.
8.
Okay, 8 years. And I just have to say she is one of the most generous people that I have known, even in the middle of all of this. And I think God honors that. I think God honors, you know, you don't have to just because you're in trouble. You can keep your hands open and keep giving in the ways that you can. So bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Jaden.
I'll keep it quick. Thank you. I'm going to keep it quick so Monica doesn't give me the evil eyes. I've been wanting to share this one for like a few months now. This happened back in December, but I think it's a cool story. I was back up in Terrace, where Julie and I are both from, my lovely fiance, and I've hit the road to go visit a friend, so I'm driving down the highway, and when I drive, I really like to have some self-reflection, and so usually I'm like praying, and yeah, a lot of cool things like usually get said to me when I'm driving. I don't know, it's just a thing. So anyways, I'm driving down, and Julia has had a very interesting journey when it comes to her plan of work, and currently she's like, I'm gonna apply to nursing. And so at that time, that is her plan. And I'm like, is this right? Like, I don't know. And so it was really weighing heavy on my heart. And I'm like, God, am I supposed to support her in this? Or is this like is this of you? Is this her plan for her? Or like, I don't know how to feel. And I was just like feeling kind of like stressed about it. Like, I'm like, I don't know where I lie in this plan for Julia. And so I'm driving down, I'm praying. And I'm like, God, can you please show me a sign? Like, can you just like give me some sort of feeling, show me something? And I kid you not, I'm driving. The vehicle has a sunroof, right? And within, I think it was maybe like 10, 15 seconds, it was like an eagle swoops out and flies over the car. I'm driving like 100 kilometers an hour. I didn't know they could go that fast. And it glides over the car, like for like maybe like 10 seconds and then flies away, like right over, like maybe 10 feet. And I was like, that was really weird. And so I think about it, I'm like, okay, so now I have to like figure out what that means. So I'm thinking about it, I'm like, that was amazing. Like, that was for sure a sign. That has never happened. That doesn't happen. That was really weird. And I thought about it and I was like, I feel like God just told me that's like, I'm your father and you are under my wing. Like, I am the bird and I'm gonna take care of my children. Julia is my child, you are my child. I'm going to take care of you. I've got you. Jaden, don't worry about this. Don't worry about her because I am your guys' father. So just like siblings don't worry for their other siblings because they know their parents have them, God is the exact same way. And I was just like, that is such a blessing. So I don't know if anybody needs to hear that, but it was like, it really like, I don't know, just for me, like I'm a planner and I like to have things figured out. And, you know, we all know that that doesn't work like 90% of the time, right? So, and it was just, yeah, it was really cool, a very cool experience. So I wanted to share it with the church. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
We're just going to pause a moment before I invite Pastor Daniel up for communion, and we're just going to say thank you. God, we have just heard amazing testimonies of your provision and your goodness and your faithfulness and your the way you teach us in different ways and the way you come through and you work with what we do, and your timing is perfect, even though sometimes, God, I have to say it seems like it's so long to wait for some of these things. But God, you are good, and we say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your love for us. Thank you for your caring. And Lord, there is no one we would rather give our lives to. And so we offer ourselves to you and say, come and use us, Lord. Use us to be generous to people. Use us to speak to people of who you are. We are yours. Amen. And I also want to encourage you that the people that came up here to share, they're not special in the sense that God loves each of you the same way, and he is working for each of you in the same way. So don't think that, oh yeah, that happens to others. No, 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 that can happen for you. And there'll be a time of prayer afterwards, and if you have something that you're waiting for or need prayer for, please come up and take advantage of it. Okay, and I'm going to invite Pastor Daniel.